Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It is Friday morning, which means it's time for the Week in Review and Preview conversation. Today coincides with Jobs Friday. That means we do have Senior Economist Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Brian Rose, joining us to provide some thoughts, reflections on the April Employment Report, among some other timely topics. With that, Brian, thank you for dropping by Top of the Morning to spend some time today with our listeners and our clients. It's great to have you on the podcast as always. Let's jump right into it. I know many of us were eagerly awaiting the release of the latest jobs data. So what are your overall thoughts on the results and how would you characterize the current health of the U.S. labor market?
So overall, the report was another solid month of data. We had the headline non-farm payrolls rising by 177,000, which was well above consensus, but there were down revisions the prior 2 months totaling 58,000. So if you take away those downward revisions, more or less in line with the consensus expectations, the unemployment rate held steady at 4.2%, and average hourly earnings were a little bit on the soft side, rising only 0.2 month over month. Now, earlier in the week, we had other labor-related data. The employment cost index rose by 0.9 quarter over quarter in the first quarter. That's the same as fourth quarter last year. And we had the JOLTS job openings falling in March down to 7.19 million. That's the lowest since December 2020. But if you compare it to this morning's data, there was 7.17 million unemployed workers and again, 7.19 million openings. So basically one opening for every unemployed worker. And if you look, you know, in big picture, the labor market is well balanced. We're near full employment. Wages are rising at a solid pace, but not so fast that you have to worry about it being a source of inflationary pressure. So really kind of a Goldilocks situation in the labor market. So far, so good. But of course, there are worries about the outlook, especially given, you know, all the uncertainty. There is the fear that layoffs might pick up, and also immigrant labor supply, I think, will start to really be felt in the second half of the year. So, again, so far so good, but there are some worries about what will happen in the months ahead.
Thank you, Brian. So outside of the jobs report, it was a fairly eventful week for economic data releases. What were some other prints you would like to recap for us?
So we had the first quarter GDP out this week. Growth turned slightly negative, falling at a 0.3% annualized pace. But if you look at the details, they're a lot more encouraging. So we had solid growth in both consumption and investment. But the big problem for first quarter is that we ran record trade deficits as imports surged ahead of the tariff hikes. So imports enter GDP with a minus sign, and the goods rose at a more than 50% annualized pace, so really an incredible rise in goods imports that dragged 5 percentage points off of the GDP growth rate. And this was partially offset by rising inventories, but not completely. So again, why did we have negative growth in the first quarter? It's because of this huge surge in imports. And, you know, again, I wouldn't read too much into this. Back in 2022, first quarter growth was a negative, and then we still ended up with 2.5% growth for the year as a whole. There's so much noise in the data, so much uncertainty over the proper seasonal adjustment. And again, estimate is not meant to deal with this gigantic change in the level of import. Very hard to correctly adjust for that. So again, I'd say if you look at the big picture, you know, again, good labor market, consumer spending is rising, investment is rising. It all looks pretty healthy, at least through the data we have so far. And of course, there are fears about what's going to happen from here because of the impact of tariffs, but you just don't see a lot of bad news in the hard data so far. And now one other thing in the GDP data, we got the core PCE price index. This is the Fed's favorite measure of inflation. That rose at a 3.5% annualized pace, a little bit more than expected. And if you look year over year, core PCE inflation was 2.65% in March, the last month of data that we have. That's almost exactly the same as it was last May. So we've gone almost a year without making progress towards the Fed's 2% inflation target, which is why the Fed has been on hold so far in 2025. Also mentioned a couple other indicators. We had the ISM manufacturing PMI. Not much change in the numbers, so coming in a little bit below 50. But what was interesting was the quotes from the survey respondents. Every single quote mentioned tariffs, the negative impact of tariffs. So, it really gives you the sense of how big of an issue this is for businesses. And we also had the conference board measure consumer confidence, really weak, especially in expectations, literally cratering, among the worst readings that you'll ever see. And really, normally the only time you see a reading this weak is in recession. So, the question is, will this weakness in confidence and consumer sentiment translate into weaker consumer spending going forward? So far we had first quarter decent growth, but the outlook from here is really quite uncertain.
So, Brian, as we look ahead to next week, what's taking place that investors should be mindful of?
So the big event next week is the FOMC meeting. And as I've just explained, we're at full employment and inflation is well above the Fed's target and threatening to move higher as the tariffs have more of an impact. So there's simply no reason for the Fed to think about the rate cuts. There's no possible justification to really talk about the rate cuts, because neither of their mandates would suggest that rate cuts are a good idea. So in my view, the Fed is going to need to see bad news coming out of the labor market before they can consider rate cuts. And after this morning's payrolls, I'd say there's not a lot of time left for the Fed to cut rates, even in June, even at the following meeting in June. But of course, as you go out further, there's more of an opportunity or more of a risk that the labor market will start to weaken, and that might motivate the Fed to cut. Our base case is that the next cut will be in September, but could be sooner or later. And everything depends on how the labor market goes from here. And of course, there's a huge focus on the tariffs and the possibility of a trade deal. So this is something to look for next week. It sounds like we might be close to reaching a deal with one or two of our trading partners, and it would really help if we had at least one deal announced to give people a sense of what these deals could look like. And of course, the best possible move would be some kind of breakthrough in the trade between U.S. and China. So there's been various news items, they might start to negotiate. And, of course, this is the single biggest worry going forward for the economy is the huge tariffs between U.S. and China and the negative implications that have for the economy. Also mentioned, we have ongoing work with the Republicans' reconciliation budget. So we're starting to get a better idea of what that budget might look like. It's always going to be interesting to follow, you know, how the negotiations are going.
Well, Brian, as always, do appreciate your time and insights. Thank you for joining us on Top of the Morning for the Week in Review Preview, and look forward to continuing the conversation again soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.